website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues each and every day. We'll be dealing with an issue today that I believe is on the hearts, the minds, and the thoughts of every citizen in America, every Christian, every conservative, in particular in our nation today. We're talking about a subject, an issue that I believe we should consider. How should Christians and conservatives celebrate the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump? I say that, and I got the thinking about this question as watching some of the Fox News and other news outlets, and it seemed to be many of the news anchors, they were almost a giggly response and talking about being at the inauguration and how they were going to get to go to this bar, that bar, the other bar, whatever it may be. And there was a mindset that it was just be a, how would you say, rejoicing with a bottle of booze, if I can put it, just plain country boy, simple. Is that the way we're going to celebrate this inauguration as Christians and conservatives? Is that how we ought to celebrate it? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, today in America and across the nation, all Americans, as we're witnessing the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump, our 47th president, millions are going to gather in their homes, their home states, in special locations, perhaps, across our nation, and have various types of celebration. Yet there are others, ladies and gentlemen, that's pulling the hair out, hair on fire, wondering what they can do, how they can hide. In fact, there's a push in D.C. to cut the work week to 32 hours. There's a push by the Biden administration to Trump-proof every department. I'm told with some of the articles that I've read on that, that some 47 to 52% of all of the bureaucracies in D.C., there's already been some special secret things, secret sauce, if you will, mixed into their schedule to make sure that they will not follow what Trump says. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one made such a profound statement, said that Trump would make decisions, but they would have the final decision on whether or not they think, those departments, think that it would be good for America. What a Baptist might say, what a Methodist, Presbyterian. What is the biblical truth in relationship to salvation? What is the plan of salvation in the Scripture? Some believe you can be saved by baptism. Some believe that you can be saved by the accumulation of good works. Others believe that you can be saved simply because you're across denominational lines. You've made a choice to believe what that dogma says. So is salvation choice or chance? Is salvation based on good works? Is salvation based on a drawing of the Holy Spirit and you saying yes to the work of the Holy Spirit of God? Or is it the fact, as some believe, that you are part of the elect, you need not do anything, but before the foundation of the world, God's chosen you unto salvation? We're going to talk about that today. Salvation, show us a chance. And let me remind you, as we discuss these issues, especially when we talk about the issue of salvation, we must understand that the Word of God has the first, foremost, and final decision. It's not decision is not made based on man's choice, based on man's philosophy, based on man's dogma or doctrinal beliefs, denominational beliefs, but based on thus saith the Word of God. So as we face the issues, we look at the Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. As we look at the truth of the Word of God, God's Word says, as Jesus speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, about your thoughts, your thinking, your philosophical belief system, but I can tell you the Word of God doesn't have to be modulated, moderated, revised, updated, or changed. God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's Word does not change based on denominational dogma. God's Word does not change based on philosophical rhetoric. God's Word does not change based on what you might think or say or do, but based on what God's Word says. Psalms 117:2, as I said a moment ago, the truth of the Lord endures forever. A lot of people want to bifurcate truth, change truth, evade truth, and simply, in some cases, avoid and absolutely refuse truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's not just talking about in the realm of life and living and in the realm of society. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that a lot of people today, and perhaps you're one of them, I don't know, that you reject the truth of what God's Word says because you're so sold out on a denominational dogma or philosophical belief system or something that is not aligned with the Scripture. But one of the problems, ladies and gentlemen, if I can put it in as a parenthetical footnote, one of the major problems that I find in relationship to Christianity and biblical, theological, doctrinal truth is so many do not know the Word of God. So many people, so many Christians, perhaps you're one of them, you've not studied the Word. The Scripture is very clear, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. Only way that is possible is to study the Word, stay in the Word, and allow the Word of God to speak, and not laying layers of denominational dogma on top of it. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we study the truth, learn the truth, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe if the rapture tarries, we're going to find this to be more prominent and definitive than we could ever dream possible. I believe if the rapture tarries and God allows America to continue to go down the declension that we are today with the devolving of anything that's called truth, morals, ethics, or values, we will see that the Christian will be more and more under the narrow view of being persecuted and prosecuted by the secularistic society in which we see ourselves devolving in as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands with like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of the Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. And Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have Dr. Glenn Davis and Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. We usually try to identify this time of the week each week to deal with a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue that I believe is necessary. We're looking at an issue today. Salvation, is it choice or chance? Did God make a determination who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, whether we make a choice to say yes to him or not? Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. After Dr. Davis has spoken for a moment, Dr. Phelps, if you would introduce yourself and take a moment to say what we're going to do today without getting into the details of it right now.
Amen. We just want to say thank God, amen, for the opportunity to be able to minister to the body of Christ again on today. Amen. Good morning to my bride, amen, of 39 years, and all of my friends and family that are listening. Amen. Want to send condolences out, amen, to the Lindy McCray family down in St. Mary's, Georgia. Dr. Youngblood had a grandmother to pass away at the ripe old age of 108.
Amen.
I had a chance to
speak. So she couldn't say that she was still under 100.
Amen. Amen. I had a chance to speak with that young lady, and you're talking about smart and sharp.
Amen.
Did not show any signs of dementia, et cetera, et cetera. However, she lost a son, and I think that caused her to want to go home and be with the Lord.
Amen.
So our prayers are with that family on today, and all of you, amen, everybody else, amen, who have bereaved loved ones on today, amen, we send our heartfelt condolences out to you. Amen.
Yes,
praise
amen.
God.
Thank you for that, Dr. Phelps.
I'm so thankful to be here to serve in the gospel ministry, and I'm so thankful for this wonderful day that God has given us, and we want to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank the Lord today for all of the blessings that we have in Christ, and one of the great privileges that we have as Christians is that we can know from the Scriptures that we are in Christ. And that's the only safe place to be. God is so good.
In Christ. Amen. I like that. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Oh, yes, Dr. Youngblood. I'm sorry if your mother passing away. 108 years old, that's quite a testimony.
That's Dr. Davis.
Oh, Dr. Davis, that's a testimony. Very, very yes. great testimony. That's amazing. And I just want to say thank Dr. Youngblood for his radio program. And I'm sorry for your loss, Dr. Davis. And God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Kevin, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. By the way, as we're Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, as we're entering into the Thanksgiving season, before Thanksgiving Day, I'd like for us to do something to this round table with what we're thankful for and invite our listeners to join in, calling in and identifying what they're thankful for, why they're thankful, what God has done in their lives. I look forward to that opportunity. But today, as we talk about salvation, is it choice or chance? I'd love to hear from our listeners today. If they're saved, how they in other words, let me just couch it this way for our listeners. Are you saved? Are you sure? How did you get saved? What did you do? Is it because you were baptized? Is it because you're Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, or Baptist that you claim salvation? Is it because of the accumulation of good works? How did you get saved? How do you know you're saved? And does it align with what the Bible says about salvation? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a group that says that they're saved because God chose them. Listen, there's a group in society today, a group of Christians today, they say they're saved, and they know they're saved because they're part of the elect. And the election is based on the foreknowledge of God and the predestination of God and their theological persuasion. There's some today that say that they have been predestined to go to heaven, and there are others that say that evidently they're going to hell because God has not predestined them to heaven. In other words, there's the double predestination belief system, doctrinal system, in the hearts and the minds and the thoughts of multitudes that may be listening today. It's called Reformed theology. It's called Calvinism, to be very, very frank and direct. That's what we're talking about today. Some believe that God predestinated some to heaven and some to hell, and human reason, human choice has nothing to do with it. Under Reformed theology, it's believed that God elects some individuals They have no choice. They make no decision. They make no sense of repenting, turning to God and saying yes to Him, but simply believe that they have been saved because they are elect. So also, the false teachers say that God chose whom He wants to be saved, and human choice is not a part of it. In fact, I've heard some, ladies and gentlemen, that have had and are on now national radio or television broadcast, and they basically laugh at Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. They laugh at Christians or those that say that they're saved because they, quote, invited Christ to come in the heart. So, ladies and gentlemen, is it a choice factor that you can invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again? Or is it something that God predestines and you have no choice whatsoever to do so? I believe we have Kevin on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hello?
Jim, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you all today?
Good, great. Morning. I pray that you are.
Good. I have a question. How does Calvinism reconcile where Paul tells believers that they must examine themselves and that they are truly walking in the faith? And then the second part of that is, lest no man should boast, because grace is given as a gift by God and our Lord Jesus. So the question is, I'm not saying that they're bad theologians, but we're looking at a different type of dogma mm-hmm. in a denomination.
Dr. Phelps, I'll toss that to you. What say you?
One of the great things that I have learned from the scriptures is that God saves those who believe. And before we can believe, we must have substance. We must have the truth. Mm-hmm. And so when we hear the truth, according to Ephesians 1:13, when we hear the truth, then we respond by receiving it. And then when we receive it, God does a work in our lives. God employs the Word of God, the Word of truth, and the Spirit of God to bring about what we call conversion.
Conversion, biblical salvation.
Yeah, a regeneration. And Peter talks about that. There must be the involvement of the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God, and the hearing of that, receiving of that, before we can actually believe.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, Dr. Young, when we consider God, number one, we have to understand Psalm 145, and I believe that's verse 17, tells us all of God's ways are righteous. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that we can do to prove Him wrong in anything that He does.
Right.
But the Bible does let us know that whosoever, when we go walk the Roman road, we like to say this a lot of times, especially when people come to the church and say that they want to be saved. Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they hear? And you got to hear the preacher preaching the truth. Mm-hmm. It's the word of truth that saves you. Now, when we go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. When we look at iniquity, that sin, God has to deal with that. He's got something in place already to deal with the sin problem. But what we have to do is accept the righteousness of God, the plan of salvation, by faith through Jesus Christ, if we want to be saved.
Absolutely. So it's a work that God has done, but it's a gift that we need to receive.
Amen.
By volitional choice.
Amen.
Jim, what say you? You're familiar with, I'm sure, a lot of people. In fact, may I just do a little footnote before I finish the question? I've seen multitudes of people that I've had the privilege of talking with, sharing with, and talking about their salvation, that because they think they're one of the elect, that they've already been predestined by God before the foundation of the world to be saved, they are part of the elect. You cannot convince them that there's a need to make a choice and not something that is done before the foundation of the world that you have no choice over. just as Dr. Phelps said a moment ago, it is by hearing, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps both talking on the same sheet of music, if you will, by hearing the word, Holy Spirit of God speaking through the preached spoken word, Romans 10, 14 through 17, it's talking about there. We say yes to Jesus. We believe, pistuo, place our faith and trust in God. And Jim, the question that I have is, if that is the case biblically, and we've summarized it, if that is the case biblically, how can a person believe that there's nothing that man can do to be saved, that God has already done it, and he can do nothing? There's no chance, a choice, it's just chance whether or not the person is part of the elect. What say you?
That's kind of what I was trying to get about into a way without pointing a finger there. To me, it's somebody that could presume that they are amongst those that are going to heaven. With that presumption, it almost, to me, feels like a borderline arrogance. I don't have to do anything because I am of the elect there. So they never further themselves in the word, and they never do self-examination because they're beholden to this dogma within their denomination. And I believe that you have to continually be in the word. You know, I question my faith often enough, and to be honest with you, the only words that I want to hear in my life, particularly at the end, is, well done, faithful servant.
Amen. One of the things, Jim, that I'll add as a little footnote before I let you go, I can recall many, many, many years now, my wife talking about the fact when she was growing up that in her neighborhood was a man that the family knew. He would sometimes come and visit, and sitting on the front porch on the swing, I believe was the setting, and somebody talked with him about the need to say yes to Jesus, questioned something about whether or not he was saved, and he said, I don't know about salvation. That's something left up to God. God, if God wants me saved, he's going to have to do it. There's nothing I can do about it. That is dilemmifying to me, but yet that is the truth of what is found in the predestination, Reformed theology, Calvinism that's found today. And you were kinder than I would be, saying, you know, didn't want to point a finger. I will stand up boldly based on the Word of God and point a finger and say, if you think that you're the elect, part of the elect, and you're just depending on that, and you've not done anything to say yes to Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. There's no question about it based on the authority of Scripture. So it demands the attention of those that are listening today. Check up. See if you be in the faith. Have you said yes to Jesus Christ, or are you just depending on some dogma, some denominational philosophical rhetoric that's being taught today, and it crosses all denominational lines. It's not just certain denominations. It crosses all denominational lines. And when I say it, I'm talking about the predestination false theology. I'm talking about the dogma that says I'm saved whether I want to be or not. The dogma that says I don't have to do anything. God's already done it. So it deserves our attention, Jim, and I'm thankful for your call. God bless you and keep looking up.
May I say one more thing?
Yes.
Condolences to Dr. Davis, my brother in Christ. I'm sorry to hear for that loss for you, Dr. Davis.
Thank you so much. That was actually a grandmother of a good friend of mine, and I actually took her, well, like I always do, all women in Christ, Dr. Youngblood's wife, amen. I call her my mother today, amen. Praise God. So when I look at, amen, all of the mothers, amen, the older women in Christ, I call them mothers, and this is what she was actually to me, even though she was my friend's grandmother. She was in Christ, I'm in Christ, so I consider her, amen, my spiritual mother as well.
Amen. Now, Dr. Davis, be careful of that stuff called older.
Amen. But let me say this, Dr. Youngblood, also. You know, sometimes
Jeff,
we don't learn.
Thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
We don't learn anything from history, because all we have to do is read the Scriptures. Now, the Israelites took upon themselves that same frame of mind, that because they were Israel and that they were God's people, they thought they could continue to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that applies to what we're talking about right now, how some people don't have a full knowledge of understanding what this word says and what the obligation is to you. Now listen, God doesn't, when he extends to you salvation, it's a free gift, but then you are also expected to obey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not obeying that word, then that's when your salvation becomes in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, we can get out of God's plan of salvation. We can turn the gift down.
Well,
we can turn the calling down.
Absolutely, from the very outset.
Amen.
Once saved, always saved.
Amen.
But a person can reject that gift,
reject,
as you said. In fact,
amen,
in Romans chapter 6, it talks about, do we continue in sin because grace abounds? And the Word of God says, God forbid.
God forbid.
And says, don't even think of that. I believe we have Brother Davis on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, gentlemen, for this subject we're talking about today. And you've already just really sort of stole my thunder, but let's put it like this. If I'm not saved, it's Jesus' fault, because God did predestinate at that particular time that everyone would be saved through his precious sacrifice of his Son on the cross, to forgive us of our sins and bring us in reconciliation, wow, with him. So Jesus did exactly what God wanted him to do, and that was predestination. He said, there's no other way except I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And if I'm not saved, it's Jesus' fault.
Well, let's back up on that a moment, Brother Davis. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, one of the great things that we need to understand is that we must use the biblical definition of words. Mm-hmm. Some have attached the wrong definition to the word elect. They use a theological definition. Mm-hmm. And that's contrary to the Word of God. Whenever I read in the Scriptures about the word elect, it means that God has chosen someone to serve. S-E-R-V-E. It does not pertain to salvation. So let's get that clear. Whenever God chose Israel, God chose them for a special purpose. They were to serve as God's witnesses to all the other nations.
Right.
And that was the purpose of their election, or their being chosen. When God uses the word elect, he uses that word in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ.
He is the elect one.
He is the elect one, spelled with a capital letter.
Right.
And so God chose to send his Son into the world to serve as our Savior. He wasn't elect to be saved. He's the Savior.
That's right.
But he's going to bring salvation to us.
Absolutely. One of the things, Dr. Phelps, if I can jump in for a moment, and Brother Davis, I think what Brother Davis is saying, Brother Davis, you correct me if I'm misunderstanding, you're saying that God has predestined that everyone that says yes to Jesus as Savior are saved. Is that correct?
If you accept him as your personal Savior, yes, I
Amen.
Believe you are saved, and nothing can separate me from the love of God.
Amen. Brother, that's exactly right. One of the things that I'm concerned about, contrary to what you've said you're on target with what you've just said. But contrary to that, as you know, I'm sure, there are multitudes in society today that think that they're saved. They've never said yes to Jesus. They've never felt the draw of the Holy Spirit to say yes to Jesus, forgive me my sins, I'm lost, come into my heart and save me. They've never been willing to do that, never understood that, but they think that somehow, some way, they're part of the elect, they're predestined to go to heaven, and that is not what the Scripture talks about with the word predestination in the Scripture.
No, you have to accept him as your personal Savior. It's a
Amen.
Personal Savior.
Amen. Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much for your calling, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe James is on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Young, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. We've got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Terrific, terrific show. I was calling to confirm everything I've heard thus far, and yes, John 1:1, and then to inform your listening audience that if they want to get involved in this Islam slaughterhouse debate, there's going to be another meeting about it coming up. I was escorted out by JSO's finest very politely from the Zoning Commission meeting last night for reading from the Quran. I, of course, read from the Bible before that, But when I got to the Quran, I was accused, I think, of hate speech and being an Islamophobe and all this sort of thing.
James, if you don't mind, could I ask you to hold over until after the top of